Hey, welcome to the Killer Frogs, the podcast all about TCU athletics from the fans' point of view. My name is Sean Fouché, and this is episode 171 for, this will actually be Wednesday, November 24th of 2021. Yes, this is our Thanksgiving podcast. I do have to apologize. We did not record last night because of me, so we are recording one day late. But on tonight's podcast, we've got the smooth voice of Nick Howard.
Hey, what's going on, everyone? I'm definitely ready for some turkey, so...
Yes,
my grandma.
It'll be a good one. You spending it at home there, Nick?
Oh, definitely. Awesome. I'll get up Thursday morning, go play some football, and then go eat some turkey.
That sounds like a great time. Yeah, no kidding. And also on tonight,
grandma's doing the chicken.
You say what? Oh no, mom is.
Mom and grandma. Well, yeah. I know how that goes. That old sounds like some of that good old Southern cooking. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. You can't see it on the podcast, listeners, but Nick is actually drooling at this point. So.
He's got the biggest giddy smile on his face right now just talking about it.
Yeah, he knows what's coming on Thursday. All right, also on tonight, we've got Hunter Nix. Hey, Hunter.
How's it going? Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. By the time this, pretty close after it airs.
Yeah.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving.
One. So what are you planning on doing?
Eating turkey and watching the Cowboys. Hopefully they win. Let's see. Well, I don't really care that much.
Well, at least you're honest about it.
I have one team that I really care about, and that is the TCU Horned Frogs.
Well, there's a lot to be thankful for after last weekend, and who knows, maybe they might be able to pull off this weekend, but we'll get to that in just a little bit. And rounding out tonight's podcast, we've got TCU Hall of Famer WC Nix. Hey, Dubber.
Hello. Happy Thanksgiving week, guys. I'm ready to, as Hunter is, I'm ready for Thanksgiving. Good eating. And we won last weekend, so hey, good week.
It was a great week. But before we get to football, let's talk a little basketball news. Nick?
Yeah, definitely. TCU had their first game in the SoCal Challenge last night. It was a late game last night. They played against Santa Clara. They ended up losing that one 85-66. Just some things they got to work on, just simple basketball plays moving forward. They'll be able to bounce back. But tomorrow they play Pepperdine. I have to check that time. I forgot the time on that one. But they play Pepperdine tomorrow on a Wednesday and finish up the SoCal Challenge. Then women's basketball, they lost to North Carolina at the Maggie Dixon Classic, 79-46. North Carolina got out and ran against them pretty good. So, but they're headed to California as well for a Friday and Saturday game for the St. Mary's Thanksgiving Classic. And they'll play against St. Mary's, California, and California Baptist.
Cool.
Yeah, a couple of tough losses. But I think you're right. I think the men will bounce back on this. The women have a few more question marks after that game against North Carolina. But yeah. I think moving forward, they'll bounce back. But that was a hard game to watch.
Yeah.
Well, moving from basketball, let's talk a little bit of recruiting. Hunter, what do you have on that front?
Well, it's not great news, but this is what it is. And with our current situation, Cade McConnell and Seth Martin, both offensive linemen recruits, have decommitted from us since last week. And now we're up to 7 total decommits, but honestly, not that worried about it. New coach comes in, they're going to bring a lot of their own guys. So, we'll be fine.
Well, you have to think it's going to happen. I mean, it happens every time.
It does.
Fired. Kids are not going to sit around. And now they get a coach. Hey, they get a coach, we might get some new kids back. You never know.
Exactly.
But, you have to know that, they came because of certain coaches or coaching staff and maybe TCU also, but, Until we get it all situated, that's what's going to happen. So all the decommits. But that's why you got to do it, because signing dates, I don't even know when it is in December, but I know it's soon.
Yeah, it's right around the corner. And, it doesn't help that we have yet to make an official announcement as far as the next TCU coach is. And we'll get to that in a minute. But one thing that does help is winning, and that's something that TCU got back on track of on Saturday, winning 31-28 on a last, well, we'll call it a last-second field goal. It was 6 seconds left on the clock as Kel boots one through, going up by three. TCU beats Kansas, who's hot off of their win against Texas. And this was a Kansas team that came out and wanted to really take it to the Frogs. But to their credit, Max came out, had a great game. And for the most part, the defense kind of responded and had done some things against Kansas that even some of the top teams in the league have not been able to do up to this point. It was a pretty good game, and I'll be honest with you guys, I didn't really feel like TCU was out of it at any given time. I didn't feel uncomfortable in the game. It was just one of those that you just kind of wish that we would just kind of keep moving forward, especially when we're up at 28-14 at one point in time. But Dubber, what were your thoughts on the game on Saturday?
Well, you know, I just think it took us a whole half to get going, really, especially offense, you know, because, you know, at half we were down, you know, we had the interception at the, you know, down toward the end zone. We had the fourth down, we got stopped. You know, that could have made a huge difference, you know. I mean, we could have been up by then, but, you know, I mean, I think we were, I think mentally we had to work through it. We had to come back around, and I think at the same time, Kansas, you know, they're on a high. They got a good coach. I think he's got them trended in the right direction. And, you know, I'm kind of like you. I didn't ever feel like we were out of it. When we took the lead, I was like, all right, we're okay. You know, and I never felt like we were, you know, I guess, well, I'll say that. A couple times I felt like we had a chance to, you know, to drop the ball. But for the most part, I felt like our kids fought hard. They fought through some stuff. And, you know, hey, now they just set themselves up, you know, this week, you know. So, you know, I wasn't totally – I mean, I'm kind of like you. I wasn't disappointed. I mean, I'd like to watch their line played a little bit better. Max was a stud, I mean, as far as running and doing all that stuff. I mean, that's why it's so hard with Max. I mean, because, you know, he's a total competitor. You know, he's a winner. The kids love him. You know, he's out there on a broke foot, you know, and, you know, if he didn't play like he did, if he didn't play like he played, we wouldn't have won Saturday.
No, and there was a lot of good things about that play, including a couple of really deep passes that we really hadn't seen him connect on all season long. Came at a really great time. Hunter, I know you weren't able to make it to the game, but what were your thoughts?
No, I think much the same thing as Dad did. Just said, you know, Max, geez, I mean, that game exactly is why you love the guy. He finds a way to win. He just kind of grits it out, you know, when you need it. And, you know, he's definitely the leader on that team. Sometimes I wish that his passing, you know, was better, but he's improved every year. He's done everything you could ever ask of him. And definitely is just, you can tell, like, I love him as a fan, but man, I mean, yeah, it's just, it's never as pretty as it could be, you feel like, but he just grits everything out.
It was natural difficult. It was really difficult to. I had to keep reminding myself he's playing on a broken foot.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah,
same here.
Yeah. You know, I think the defense played pretty good too. I think they played solid. I mean, could they play better? Yeah, but they didn't give up. They fought hard. They didn't quit. You know, you could take, like I said, you know, last week when we were talking about it, you can take losing. I mean, it's good you can take losing, but, you know, if you think the kids are playing hard, giving it all their effort and stuff like that, and I felt like they were doing that, you know.
Well, and on the flip side, you can also take some of the bad because you won. You found a way to win, you know, in a close game, and Kansas has played a lot better this year. I mean, they are actually not going to be last in the Big 12. You know, that's going to be Texas because they hold the tiebreaker. So, you know.
Well, I don't know. Conference-wise, I think Texas is their only win, right?
Is that right?
I think so. I think okay, Texas well, is their only win. Solid win.
But technically, how it goes is, so even though we lost to Texas, we're technically better than Texas because Kansas beat Texas and we beat Kansas. So
I just want to know, looking back, how did we lose to Texas? How did that happen? We shouldn't have lost that game.
We just didn't play very well. I mean, you know, that's the deal. I mean, that, you know, I mean, and I mean, that's all you can say is we didn't, We didn't play very well offensively, for sure. We didn't play great, if I remember, we didn't play great defensively that game. But that's what's been happening all year long, so it's going to be interesting. And, you know, and you know what? I love what I saw on Chandler Morse, what little we got to see out of him. You know, and you know, I love out of some of the stuff I've seen out of some of the running backs. And, so I think, you know, a couple seniors, I know one for sure said he's coming back for another year. So, you know, hey, you know, there's some people want to come and stay and right the ship. And, you know, I just hope that we, you know, get the right guy in there. And I think that every position should be opened up next year, you know, for competition. I mean, I don't care who it is. I mean, what it is, you know. Hey, if you're good enough to win it, you're good enough to win it. So, you know, So you shouldn't be worried about it if you open it up for competition.
One thing that helped them offensively this past game against Kansas, definitely having Kendre back.
Definitely.
Took a lot
for as little as we had him, but yeah.
Yeah, because it took a heavy load off of Imari. So it was good to have that 1-2 running back punch back. And Max was doing good. Like you said, I'm a big Max fan. He was doing good, giving the ball to his playmakers. Davis had a heck of a game, so yeah.
Davis had a career day. It was great to see that.
He shot himself in the foot right off the bat first. Well, then he felt like he had to redeem himself, and he did do it. Okay, you know what? I still say this. I mean, I don't want to be terribly bad, but I'm in the play calling still. I mean, I'm like, you know, we're sitting there and we're doing so good at something. Why don't change it? Why, you know? I was actually, you know, I don't put a lot of stock in announcers all the time because sometimes I don't think they know what they're talking about. But, you know, I was sitting there listed, and a guy said, hey, if it ain't broke, don't try to fix it. You know, I was like, yeah, I don't know what we're doing. We're sitting there, we're driving the ball down the field, don't say we got to try something crazy. But in the same respect, I got to admit, you know, the one reverse work with Davis, you know, that scored a touchdown.
Yeah.
And, you know, but, you know, you know, and you know what? Every week, it just amazes me. I watch every team in the country run the bubble screen and get positive yards. I don't even get us. I just don't get us on that play. I just know that we're out of it.
I think the lack of instruction on offensive line pass blocking kind of translates to the wide receiver core as well. So that's just – we just don't do that. And I'm sorry, Deborah, that you had to subject yourself to Ryan Leaf in the the announcer's box, man. That's rough. Yeah. I went back and I watched the recording because obviously Nick and I were up in the press box for the game, but everybody on the board in the game day thread was just absolutely trashing Ryan Leaf and whoever his color person was.
Yeah.
Whoever I don't know who she was. I really didn't pay much attention to her, but man, that talk about bottom tier announcing. That was rough.
Yeah.
That was bad.
It was bad.
But in the end, though, it is a W for the Frogs.
And, yes.
And we'll take it. You know, for a season like this, to not lose to Kansas, to win at Tech, to win against Baylor, you know, it's shaping up to be not the greatest season. It's not what we all wanted for, obviously, with the loss of Coach Patterson. But it's a season, nonetheless, that we can look back on and say, well, there were some bright spots. And we saw some things, like you mentioned, with Chandler Morris. There's some bright spots there moving forward, not necessarily for this particular season, but for the future. And, of course, looking towards the future, one of the things we do have to discuss is the current rumor, even though it hasn't been officially announced, we are expecting an official announcement from TCU on Sunday that it will be Sonny Dykes replacing Gary Patterson as the new head coach for the TCU Horned Frogs. And Hunter, I think you've heard some rumblings about who he may bring on or who he might be looking at as far as an offensive coordinator.
Yeah, there's been a few names floated around, but the one that caught my attention most was Graham Harrell, who is now the OC at USC, ex-Texas Tech quarterback. He was the offensive coordinator at North Texas. He's been, I believe, he was somewhere with Chad Morris, I believe, maybe at SMU. So he's been a little bit everywhere, but, you know, he's a Texas guy. He's an offensive guy, air raid offense. And It's been a good OC. So,
all right, let me ask you a question, Hunter. What'd you say you played in college?
Quarterback.
Oh, we need a quarterback guy. Quarterback coach to coach quarterbacks, hopefully.
Yeah.
And yet another Tech quarterback.
Another Tech quarterback.
Apparently, Tech knows what to do on that quarterback. And, you know, ever since Leach was out there, you know, that air raid he started, you know, I mean, you know.
Look at all those guys. Now they're all, you know, head coaches, offense coordinators.
Yeah.
All-star NFL quarterbacks.
All-star NFL quarterbacks.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot to be said about that. So I don't know. We started with Sonny Cumbie. We saw the success when he brought him on in 2014. I don't know. I'll give Grant Harrell. And if I remember correctly, and Hunter, correct me if I'm wrong, when he was at North Texas, they were really good.
Yeah,
like he turned them around. That was the year I think that they thought that they had a chance to actually possibly bust into, you know, talk about top 10 teams or something like
that. Yeah, and that was also when Seth Luttrell like totally turned down way too many jobs that he should not have, seeing what's happened now. But no, definitely, like Graham Harrell's been a really good coach, and you know, that would be awesome in my book. I'm down for that. You also have to remember Sonny Dykes has gotten a number one pick at quarterback, and Jared Goff. Now, you know, time will tell if Jared Goff really ends up panning out in the NFL still, but he's still an NFL starter. And if Sonny Dykes made him look that good, then, you know, there's something to be said for that.
Well, I think every quarterback at SMU in the last, I don't know, couple years have been really good. I mean, every single time we have to play him, I mean, their quarterback seems to make plays that are just like, why can't our quarterback do that? Well, maybe that has something to do with Dykes and being able to
scheme and everything else.
Right, or even play the transfer portal game really well, which I think is one of the things that when we originally talked about him versus, you know, Sanders and Napier and some of these other guys we've talked over the last several weeks, that was the one thing that I was really hopeful for if we did get Dykes, is that he does kind of shore up some of the shortcomings of Patterson's, I won't say, inattentiveness, I would have to say, as far as the shift in the landscape of college football. Sonny has done a much better job of handling that. Does he bring the excitement that somebody like, say, a Sanders will? No. But he does bring a head coaching experience and I think at least an understanding of TCU that I think kind of makes the board of directors and I think this coaching search committee appreciates. So it'll be interesting to see, but I don't know. Have you heard anything else as far as defensive coordinator?
No. I've heard really nothing about D coordinator and really everything else is up in the air, I feel like.
Well, as long as we get a special teams coach out of the deal, I think I'll be okay.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, you know, I will say one thing about, you know, about that whole portal deal. And, you know, I'm just looking back, thinking about it. You know, I think this is another thing. You got to be willing as a coach to know that you're bringing somebody out of the portal. You got to put them right there with your other guys from the start, you know, and Patterson had such a great loyalty, and don't get me wrong, I mean, that's a great thing to have as a coach, you know, but them guys that came through the system, they came with it. Well, that's just not the way it is today. I mean, you got to plug and play on some of them people and things like that. And if you look around the country, not just the league, but the country, how you hear, oh, this dude was a wide receiver, blah, 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 now he's a wide receiver. It never seemed like, I mean, we got a couple of guys, but who plugged and played that, you know, that really, that we got out of the portal that, hey, that dude was a stud. You know, I could think of a couple, two or three guys that were supposedly stud somewhere else, but I think Patterson always, and I could be dead wrong. So, but I feel like he almost had, they had to earn their merit before he was going to let them on and blah, blah, blah. And I think he almost held them down. So they never became first team all studs like they were somewhere else or this or that. And that was a repeatable thing that just continued in my mind that just happened over and over again. Mm-hmm. I mean, and you got to be willing to open your mind up. It's kind of like basketball now. You know, look at Jamie Dixon. I mean, he's got four guys off that team from last year, or four really guys that played, and everybody else is new.
Yeah.
You know, that's what's happening with football now, too. Now, I'm saying it's not that drastic, but you don't.
Yeah, because you can only bring in 33 players from from the next year. So, you know, between signing 20 or whatever, you can only get 10 or 15 portal guys. But yeah, it's definitely changed things up. But at the same time, SMU and Sonny Dykes were one of the best at it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You got to hit on them guys. You're going to go to the portal. You need to hit on them. You're not hoping for backups there. You're hoping you're really hoping to fill holes.
Yeah.
You know, you see you got a problem somewhere, and you're trying to fill holes with it. And I just don't know how good we really did that.
Well, hopefully Sonny will shore that up. And I agree. I think when you mentioned this at the beginning of the podcast, you know, when you have guys that play and can play, you've got to open it up. You got to open the roster up. So when you have a new coach come in like that, the nice thing about it's very admirable that Patterson has been very loyal not only to his staff but also to his older players. But we all know that he had a blind spot when it came to playing freshmen, and I think Sonny does not. I think Sonny is one of those kind of guys that's like, I'm going to put the best guy in the position that's going to play and not necessarily worry about, well, this guy's been here 5 years, so he gets a shot. It's like, no, you may have been here 5 years, but the guy who just came in, whether it's transfer portal or just a freshman, is outplaying you, so he's the one who's going to play on Sunday or Saturday. So, I mean, I think that's going to be interesting to see just how that dynamic works out, but I agree with you. I think every position is open in the summer, and it's going to be interesting to see how that moves forward with the roster coming in the 2022 season. Well, that's hard to say. But yeah, so it's going to be exciting. Hopefully look for an official announcement on Sunday. And I know we were all kind of hoping, maybe crossing our fingers, that some other coach may have possibly made this. But I think as Dubber made an allusion to horse racing last week, I think Sonny was out of the gate far too early for anybody to really fully catch him. So it'll be interesting to see when that announcement comes out. But it looks like Sonny Dykes will be your next TCU head coach. So. And with that, we are moving forward, looking towards after Thanksgiving, and hopefully everybody's out of their food coma by the time TCU takes on Iowa State. And this is really to be bowl eligible. And, you know, I don't know. I have absolutely no expectations as far as what team shows up and aims to be able to play this game. But, Nick, let's start with you. What are you thinking for this game, and what's your score prediction?
Well, I heard Max and Oshan speak today about their expectations. They're pretty excited for it. I think they might be able to pull something out, not knowing the weather condition, and it's going to be in Iowa State. So they're pretty excited just to be able to go out there and play for the seniors and make sure they give them a season to remember. But I think score prediction moving forward is going to be 28-21 TCU. Gotta keep nice. Rolling.
28-21 TCU. Okay, I like that one. Hunter, how about you?
I'm also, you know, hoping the same as Nick, thinking the seniors are gonna come out. You know, let's end on a high note. So I'm gonna pick TCU 28, ISU 24.
Wow. Okay. All right, Dubber.
All right. Anything can happen. It's crazy. This last game, hey, if the TCU team that showed up to play Baylor is the TCU team that plays up, anything could happen. You know, it's not like Iowa State's been just burning up the world, I mean, mm-hmm. right now. I mean, you know, they're – what are they, 6-5?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, whatever. I mean, you know, so they could be 6-6 or 7-5. I mean, they're – it's not like they're – record-wise, they're that much further ahead of us. They've had you want to talk about somebody who had a disappointing season. They started out number 7, 8, 9 in the country this year. Mm-hmm. They went spiraling down, you know, so anything could happen. We got to play well and everything, and I'm just going to, you know, I haven't picked against us all year long, and I'm surely not going to pick against today. I think, you know, if we play hard and we play like we're supposed to, you know, I think it's going to be I think it's going to be a little – I don't know. I go back and forth. Let's go 31-28. We'll go 31-28. Let's say we
win the field goal. You took part of my score. I was going to say pretty much the same thing. I was going to go 34-28 TCU on this one. And I agree with you. It really just depends on which team shows up in Iowa. So if it's the Baylor game, Frogs, I think 34-28 all the way. If this is the same team that showed up to play, you know, 2 weeks ago against Oklahoma State, which again, Oklahoma State's a fantastic team, don't get me wrong, but if we see that kind of lack of effort that we saw against Oklahoma State because Iowa State comes out, punches us in the mouth, and we just don't ever recover, then it can get ugly pretty quickly. But Iowa State's one of those teams, I agree with you, Dubber, they've already kind of become bowl eligible. There's not much more they can do at this point. It is a bit of a disappointing season. So they're really just playing for a slightly better bowl game at this point. And I don't know how much slightly better you can get when you're 7-5 versus 6-6, but it is what it is. However, I don't know. I think these seniors want to go to a bowl game one more time. I think they kind of want the ride not to necessarily end. And it really just depends on which team shows up. Of course, it is a bit crazy. Of a mash unit.
Isn't it crazy we're talking about it? Have the opportunity to go to a bowl game?
And from the perspective of none of us thought we'd be talking bowl game 4 weeks ago.
Yeah, exactly right.
Not even close. Yeah, I mean, at the beginning of the season, we were all thinking bowl game. Yeah, not a problem, right? It's like whether or not we're going to make it to the Big 12 championship game. But 4 weeks ago, we were thinking bowl game. Bowl game? What are you talking about, bowl game? No one's going to, you know, what the heck? It's not going to happen. But now the Frogs have a chance for a bowl game. And I really, really hope they can pull this one out in Ames. I think this team deserves a bowl game. I think they've been through a lot, and I hope the seniors get that chance, and I hope the team does well against Ames. But with that being said, I want to say a happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there. It's been one heck of a wild ride as we come to the end of the football season. Of course, we'll be back next week to talk about the official announcement, or what we're expecting, the official announcement for the head coach, and possibly bowl predictions. Who knows? We'll see what happens. But thanks to everybody who's out there listening to us out there. We are on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, and Spotify. And, of course, you can go to killthefrogs.com, read up on any of the TCU news. Of course, go to the forums, sign up for a free account, and let us know what you think the score is going to be in Ames against Iowa State. And with that, we have come to the end of the podcast. It's the time where we all get our frogs up and we get to say,
Go Frogs!
Don't be surprised if it's not Sonny Dix and Jason Garrett, head coach.
Hey,
Jason Garrett. That is the rumor that was going around.
Get right out of New York, that's for sure.
Yeah, he got fired today.
Yep.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he got fired today.
They went ahead and fired him? I heard them talking about it, but I didn't know that they actually fired him today. It sounded like he was on his last leg when you listened to the press conference yesterday.
The